This is the Higher Ed Tech Podcast, Season 4, Episode 1. Welcome back and new tools.
Welcome to today's Higher Ed Tech Podcast. I'm Tim Van Norman, the instructional technologist here at Irvine Valley College.
And I'm Brent Warner, professor of ESL here at IVC. We both enjoy integrating technology into the classroom, which is what this show is all about.
Welcome. We're glad you're here with us. Season 4.
I know.
We episode made it. 1.
Remember when I first asked you, hey, Tim, do you want to do this thing? You're like, No. Here we are.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
So our first topic, we might as well get into it right away because it's welcome back.
Yeah.
And loving this. Anything fun happened this summer? How did it go with what you were looking to do?
Yeah. I mean, this is the first summer I've done not teaching. Since I can't really remember when, to tell the truth. So I took the summer off of teaching. I was still doing some chair work, and with COVID and with the spikes, the summer spikes in COVID, that was actually a fair amount of work.
Yes, it was with the substitutes and yes.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So shifting everything, substituting, I was like, oh, it's going to be a kind of a cruisy summer. And it's like, nope, not cruisy. So, so as we're recording this, Tim, it's mm-hmm. the last week of summer school classes, at least for our department. And so, I'm just kind of fingers crossed that we make it through the next few days. And then not like these problems are going to disappear when the fall semester starts, but, I'm just ready to be done with this batch, I guess. So, did that. And then, I was also at WorkWise. I was also at, ISTE. So the International Society for Technology and Education, I believe it's like the biggest ed tech organization. And that was in Louisiana, in New Orleans. Totally fell in love with New Orleans. It was just an amazing city. I really want to go back. Had some good experiences there, got to chat with some cool people. So, so that was good. ISTE was good, except for there was a bout of COVID and I did get a very mild case of my second, COVID, I guess from there. And so, anyways, that's life. So that's kind of school related work. I did do something else. We'll talk about it in a minute, but let's hear Tim. We kind of wanted to start with this, with just kind of sharing, like, cause we started talking about a lot of things that we're hoping to get done over the summer and, things that we're hoping that are prepared for the teachers as we come into the new semester. As this episode releases, we're still actually pretty early before classes, because for us, technically classes start, technically, they start on the 22nd. And this episode is coming out on the 4th. And so actually our second episode of the season will still be out before the first days of class, but into flex week. And so we wanted to kind of link those ideas together. So Tim, you've been much more on campus and busier with direct things. So what have you been doing for the last couple months?
So, I had the things that I had talked about at the end of our last episode, was going to be working all summer. Mm-hmm. Updates to Canvas. I'm still doing updates to Canvas. Yes. There's things happening even this week that, getting things turned on, identifying different things. It's an ongoing process, but hopefully everything will be smooth and in place at least a week before classes start. Mm-hmm. That's always my goal. Doesn't always work, but it's always my goal. Installing LTIs. I think I've got two left. One of which I found out about this week and the other one, I've known about, but didn't have the documentation on. So two, and that's, by the way, out of about 15. Okay. So I feel like I accomplished something with that. Preparation for flex week. Well, that's still 2 weeks away for us. So I'm starting that right now.
Yeah. So you've got 1 week and 6 days before that you can wait.
Well, that's part of this is moving into that area too. Right. So, online teaching conference. I did get to go to a conference in person. This is the first one I've gone to since the start of COVID, and it was great. It was neat to actually physically go. It was at the Long Beach Convention Center, and it was really neat to get to see people. Had somebody walk up to me and say, "Hey, I recognize your voice." They're a longtime listener. And so shout out there. That was great. Loved hearing that because, you know, it makes you feel good.
Yeah. Hey, someone is listening.
Yeah. And it was not from somebody from IBC. So that was good. InstructureCon, I'm really looking forward to next year. I went there for about 10 minutes. It was online and I just had too much other stuff going on that I really couldn't spend the time I really wanted to.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to going. It sounds like it's in Denver next year. So that'll be good.
Tim, can we pause for just a second? Yep. Because, just briefly, online teaching conference, I think we gave a little bit of a hard time and a joke last, at the end of last season because, the online teaching conference had no online component to it, as I recall.
Except the 2 years over, or the last year over COVID.
Yeah.
It still has no online component.
Okay. Can you just like, what's one of your like takeaways that you got from the conference, or what's one of the things like I wanted to go and it just kind of lined up like it was tail ending with ISTE and it was just, and then I got COVID. And so I was like, kind of wasn't able to do it. And it was a little over my plate, but, over my plate. That's not an expression, but you know what I mean. So I just want to hear just a little bit like of what you got from the OTC.
There was a lot of references, especially with regard to equity and how making online courses can actually become much more equitable and looking at that, for understanding we're in a very wealthy area ourselves, our college, and most of our sister colleges are not. And so in California community colleges, how do we reach out and how do we make things available to the students? Remembering that we can have 14-year-old students in the same classroom as 50-year-old students. And so how do we bridge those gaps and stuff like that? It was a really good conference. And that was one of its major themes, is equity and inclusion in that. So looking forward to seeing how more of that gets included in our in California community colleges going forward as well.
And I hope we can bring that conversation into the show a little bit too, especially if we're seeing people really making that link with technology. I think that's a great opportunity for us to share as well as it moves forward. So
absolutely.
Okay, cool. Absolutely. Did you get any vacation, Tim?
I had 3 days.
Hey,
I had a day in June and I took 2 days a couple weeks ago here in July. So, I was hoping to get a week and didn't work. I was busy.
Yeah, as it goes. So,
yeah. But how about you?
So the little time in New Orleans, I added an extra day or two on. That was great. I just got to explore the city and do some of that. And then most of the time, well, I don't know if I mentioned this at the end of last season, but I took a job cleaning pools all summer. And so I think you're aware of that, Tim, and a couple of our colleagues are aware of it. But I just wanted to do something totally different. So I've got a friend who owns a pool cleaning business, and I asked him if I could ride along with him for the summer and just help clean pools and be out in the sun and get my work on. I'm actually wearing the uniform shirt that I was wearing with him during the summer. But it was cool, like just doing a totally different job, something that I have no experience in, something that I'm not an expert in. And it's physical labor, but I learned a bunch of stuff about like maintaining pools and how different structures work, and you know, like no two pools are alike. That was a very quick lesson learned. I was like, there's a part of me that's a little bit sad to stop. I just stopped because my mom sold her house, and so I'm helping her move. But it's it was the end of the summer anyways, it's coming up. I've been cleaning pools all summer. I got I got some gnarly, knotty, not knotty, knotted hands. It was a learning experience. I really enjoyed it. And it's still like I'm processing what it was to me because it's the first time I've done something totally outside of education. And I mean, almost my entire adult life. And so it was pretty great. So that was my pool boy summer. And we'll see where things go from there.
Sounds like you had a good time.
Yeah, it was great. I might do something like that in future summers. It might not be the same job, but I think I'm going to try just different types of jobs over the summer.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that was what we're getting to. When we come back, we'll look at some of the things, get into depth in some of these ideas.
So we've got a zippy tip today, especially if you're at IVC August 15th from 10:30 to 11:30 in A322 TC300. It's the same room. It's the old testing center, or online, tech tools, new tools at IVC. Be there and learn more about all of the new tools that we've gotten in the last 18 months.
I'll be there too.
So we're looking forward to a new year. This is our first episode of season 4. Mm-hmm. When we started this, I was not thinking about a possibility of a season 4. So, you know, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. And so we're looking forward to what the new year is going to hold. And for us, we've gotten at IVC a bunch of new tools and there's been changes and stuff like that. And I was thinking maybe this would be good to have and share with everybody because it's good to know what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. So you can look at it and go, yeah, I'd like to pursue that. I'd like more information, or you know what? Can't afford it. Don't want to do that. That's good for them.
Yeah.
But educated options. So that said, Zoom, we turned on something from Tech Connect called Student Connect kind of at the end of last year. It's a way of, enhancing your online office hours, and each student gets a separate, they can register for when they want to meet with you, and they get a separate Zoom link so that you could just click on that and you're in talking to that student. Don't have a risk of somebody else stepping on it. Real quick, real easy, works across all your classes. You set up one time limit for all of your classes.
Oh, okay.
And it works across that. So Tim,
we did not pre-show all of these things. You just put up a list and I'm like, I know what we're talking about. I'm like, oh, I don't know what this is. So, okay. So this is something that is built into Canvas for people, or is it built into zoom.us, or how
it's
are
built
people
into
learn?
Canvas. Mm-hmm. It's an option from CCC Tech Connect.
Okay.
So for anybody using Tech Connect, which by the end of August will be all California community colleges, they have this option of setting up the Student Connect.
Okay.
And so it's a really neat way of having office hours across all of your classes, however many there are.
Wonderful. Okay. And so let's see if we can find a link to a basic tutorial for that in the show notes. I don't know if that exists or not, but that way people can
see what we can do. Yeah.
If they're not at IVC and can't always ask you directly, we want other people to see it and know where it's at. So we'll try and add a link to that in the show notes. But that sounds cool. Cause I definitely have that where like students come in and then I've got them in the waiting room and I'm like, I don't really want you to wait in the waiting room because you think I'm ignoring you or not noticing that you're there. So if it's already kind of built in as a system, I like how that might, the potential there. That sounds cool.
Yep. It's a nice system.
Okay.
So the next one, Canvas, we did a big update to Canvas. So California Community Colleges has got this thing set up called a trust where the different instances of Canvas all trust the state. And so in the end, the goal is for a student to be able to be a student in one school and take classes in another, and they don't have to log into Canvas a separate way in order to do that. Okay. And that the way that happens is through this trust. We just separated our instance from Saddleback. So Saddleback has their own instance of Canvas. We have our own instance and we're using the trust. And so we, in future episodes, we'll talk about what that really means and how that works. But it's a really neat thing that will minimize or eliminate a number of different issues with regard to things that if you logged in the wrong way, you would have a problem. And this can be things from adjust all for faculty to Proctorio to Zoom to all kinds of different things. We're having a problem if you logged in wrong before. Mm-hmm. Now there's no way of logging in wrong. Every way you log in works. Okay. So
this kind of like smooths out a lot of the kinks that were like, hey, you're kind of doing this at this school and that at that school and what's going on there. So making that a lot easier and more functional for faculty and students as well.
Exactly. And before people who listen to it and have worked with this all summer go, hey, wait a minute, it's not all that easy. It's not all perfect. We will get into that in future episodes, but
oh no, it's all perfect, Tim. And if anyone disagrees, they can just email you. And
yes, this is part of why I said before that I spent all summer with updates in Canvas.
So what else is going on in Canvas? I know Canvas is like, we always have to do like one or two episodes per season just on like, hey, what are all these updates? So we won't cover everything, but we just want to get a couple of the one or two of the things that's going on with Canvas here now.
So in the gradebook, there's something called filters that we've set up. It's an option that your college can or district or whoever's running Canvas can set up. And it allows you to filter out things like you can say anything I've graded, filter that out so that I'm only working on stuff that's not graded. And then you turn the filter off and all of the other stuff comes back.
Oh, that's nice.
You can,
there's a lot of horizontal scrolling for me in the past. So that'll clear a lot of that out.
Yes. Nice. It's still kind of a beta type of thing. So sometimes it works. In fact, today is the first day that I've heard of anything that it didn't work right. Okay. But there's some other settings that are built into Canvas now, including, by the way, exporting with those filters. So if you just need to know the list of students you haven't graded something on or something like that, you can just export that. So it's, they're really trying to enhance even the gradebook.
Cool.
And there's lots of little things that have come up, but those are the big ones that people have really noticed.
Wonderful. So. Gradebook, there's like a lot of people get so frustrated with Gradebook, and I'm glad to see that they're spending time on like, you know, hey, we need to fix some of these things. We need to make sure. I actually talked to Canvas a little bit about it when I was at ISTE too. And, we'll save that. Maybe we can do this conversation a little bit on another episode, but a lot of us are exploring and experimenting with this more equitable grading and the ungrading movement and all of these things. And I went up and said like, hey, what are you guys doing in order to accommodate that? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, tons and tons of teachers are talking about ungrading and removing grades and having, you know, different types of options for things. I'm like, you better start grabbing some books, you guys. And so I'm glad to see there's some stuff going on here. I don't think that they're totally ready for the cultural shift that might be happening a lot faster than Canvas is possibly ready for it. But regardless, it's a good thing that there's, some of the detailed things inside of Gradebook can be really powerful and make things a lot easier for us. So I'm glad to hear there's some changes going on there.
Yeah. They built in things directly in the Gradebook, for instance, where you can message students who haven't submitted yet and stuff like that. And now that's built into the Gradebook instead of having to go into new analytics.
Oh, good.
So they're just broadening it out. And which is good. Yeah. It's good to put stuff where it belongs, so you don't have to look for it someplace else.
Absolutely. So then we also there's a bunch of tools we've mentioned many of these before, but some of them are more activated for us now, at least on our side. And again, people who are listening who are not at IVC, totally fine. Some of these you guys might have already, but aren't taking advantage of. Some of them you might be looking at, and so we just kind of wanted to explore some of them as you know, what are we looking at? What are we hoping that they're going to be? And as we know, when we experiment with tools, sometimes we get them and then we're like, we thought it was going to be this and it didn't turn out to work in the way, or people didn't start using it in the way that we wanted to. So it's not a guarantee that it's like the future of forever. It's just things that we're trying to sort out and see how they fit into our flow.
Mm-hmm.
So Tim, what do you got? What's standing out to you?
So the first one is what we're using today, right now, class.com. And so this is an interesting way of enhancing Zoom. It's an add-on to Zoom. Mm-hmm. And you can do all kinds of things in your class, upload documents and stuff. And the class can be tied into Canvas, your Canvas shell. And so with that, your documents from the class, stuff like that, including links, you can then push that to your students while they're online in Zoom. At the same time, there's a proctor view, so you can actually, so for instance, you, Brent, as you're in ESL, you could have students working on a Google document, hit a button and see everybody's screen right next to them. And if somebody doesn't appear to be working, you can click on them and talk to them without talking to the rest of the class.
Mm-hmm.
And work with them and pull that up. Also, breakout rooms, you can actually put different things in each breakout room.
Oh, okay.
So, cool. You know, Zoom, if you could share one screen to the breakout rooms, but you couldn't, which was a relatively new change, but you couldn't share something different into each breakout room. You also had no way of knowing in Zoom what's going on in the breakout rooms. Is anybody talking?
Yeah.
You couldn't monitor it. This actually will tell you if people are paying attention, if they're working in the breakout rooms, what they're doing and stuff like that. And the beautiful part on that is the other students don't see.
Yeah.
It's just you in that group. Or
so I kind of want to clarify this just a little bit, because I think class is like, I think a good way of describing it is kind of Zoom on steroids, right? It's like many of the features, you're like, oh, we just can't really do this stuff online. It's like, oh, actually, they've built a structure that kind of layers over Zoom, right? And it allows you to do all of these cool extra features to it. And so I love that idea of having different things for different breakout rooms, because a lot of times you'll be like, group one, we want you to discuss this prompt. Group two, we want you to discuss that prompt, right? And then we're going to come back and share the ideas when we come back. So that's really cool and very powerful. That proctoring option, you know, like I know there's lots of kind of concern around the proctor conversation, and I don't know, that's the vocabulary word they chose, but it really, it could be like collaboration, right? Collaborate with the teacher, see, you know, work together on these things. And so, so that phrasing might turn off people, but I hope that, you know, people look at it and see what it can do and not think of it as a punitive I'm watching you thing, but more of a like, hey, I have a chance to jump in here and help you out thing. And then I think we're going to do a whole episode on class, because there's a ton here. But yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So one other thing, though, you know, we've made a big deal in the last couple of years about not forcing students to have their cameras on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this, you can set it up so that if their camera is on, they have an option whether it shows to the whole class or just to the teacher.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can... So you can make it a stronger suggestion that they have the camera on for you, but nobody else in the class even knows that they have it on.
Yeah. I can see that. That can be justified. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And that can be a valid instructional use.
For sure.
And stuff. So there's a whole lot of stuff we'll get into another time, but just a couple of tidbits for thinking about a tool like that.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. Okay, so class.com. And I'm just going to throw out one little complaint here, Tim. You and I use this. You and I always have the same complaint, is that these companies are all choosing like the most general words for their products. We always complain about this with Google as like assignments. And it's like, you can't Google the word assignments and figure out what, you know, like, and so class too, it's like, I like it, but I wish you chose a little bit more of a word unique that could kind of like distinguish you, because the word class we use all day long with a very defined meaning. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, okay, another thing that means something different. And okay, anyways, a tiny step on the soapbox and right back down. So what's next?
Another one we've just turned on this summer is called Circle In. Circle In allows your class to help each other on, not necessarily on assignments, but to work and answer each other's questions. Mm. And as they do it, they actually get, they win at least virtual prizes and stuff, so that you can see how people are doing and how they're encouraging each other. You can even get in and see it, but you don't have to. You can turn it on in your class and walk away. There's a lot of mechanisms in place to minimize cheating, but it's designed for people to interact and work together or work and get their questions answered by other members of the class.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I did like this. I think it was interesting. I know a lot of teachers are looked at it and they're like, whoa, hold on a second. This is letting kids talk to each other outside of the control of the teacher. And it's like, well, we always have the same conversation with Pronto and with Discord and these things. It's like, your students are going to talk to each other without you listening in all over the place, right? They have easy options for doing that. But this is kind of cool because it really encourages them to be productive, and it kind of gives them, it's like an extrinsic reward system, but it's kind of cool because it's like, hey, if you know stuff, help people out. If you have questions, ask them out, you know, like, and it's kind of a collaborative tutoring process in certain ways. So, and I like that they took the approach of saying, hey, this is not a problematic thing. This is an opportunity for students to get to know each other and to work better. So I am interested in what that's going to turn out to be too.
Absolutely. The next one, Canvas Credentials, which nobody has ever heard of because Canvas just bought Badger. And so most people or many people have heard of Badger. Mm-hmm. So if you have Badger, shortly it will be changing to a Canvas Credentials, but it is Canvas Credentials. We're actually turning that on right about as this episode is airing. Mm. So I've got the information. Now I just have to implement it. But it's a micro credentialing that includes where you can combine credentials into a larger credential. And it could be a series of classes. It could be within a class. It can be other things that combine together into another step. And so there is a free version of that we've been using for a while. We actually stepped up and bought it this year.
I think there's, I've had like a mixed relationship with badges in the past, and kind of recently it's kind of finally for me kind of clicked how we might use them in the school and like across disciplines. And so Cheryl Bailey, co-chair of Online Education Committee, and she's actually been in a couple episodes in the past. We started talking a little bit about what some of those interesting potentials might be to really kind of boost and support students in more ways with these micro credentials. So I think, again, a lot of these conversations are things like we're talking about now, but we might get into real depth in future episodes.
Oh, we definitely will in that case. So. A new tool that we're implementing is eGlass. So we're getting four of them on campus. And so this is where you, instead of having to turn your back on your class, especially when you're doing something online, have to turn your back to write on a whiteboard, you stay facing them and you write on this sheet of glass, and using the camera, it flips it around so that the person on the other side can actually read it.
Yeah.
And this has got a whole lot of other things, like you can project on it or into it and be visible or not visible or whatever. You know, there's a lot of different things, components to it, but we're getting four of those within the next few weeks.
Yeah.
So
So we did talk about this a couple of times, I think, at the end of last season, because we started looking at it, and there's some bureaucracy that slowed down the process here, as happens. But they will be here on campus, and so I think we're wanting to encourage people to look at them and see, because I think in the future we could also order more if people start going, hey, this is really something that works for me. I was like, yeah, there's some really, really cool stuff going on here, and if I were this next semester, I'm not teaching online, but if I were teaching online, I will do things like recording pre-recorded videos and things like that. But really, really cool stuff potentially with eGLASS. So yeah, we'll talk. We'll share more about that too later on.
Right.
Anything else?
Just some recent ads, not during the summer, but IELRAD, where you can, and we talked about this before, you can do quick tutorials, turn them into PDFs, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then Wyrus MathType. It's one of the things that since I started in Canvas, I've been really frustrated about is how do you show your work in math or in science on a computer with a keyboard? Mm-hmm. Well, Wyrus MathType actually allows you to use your mouse, allows you to use your touchpad, touch screen, a lot of different ways. And it actually does a really good job of converting that into usable math.
Cool.
So, asked for that. So,
You know what we should do though? We should also get like some math faculty on this season too, and kind of share some of the things that they're doing, because there's so much cool stuff happening over there. So yeah,
absolutely. So the next part is alluded to in the zippy tip, but I have a new office on campus. It's a training center. We just built out a training center. It's got room for 28 people to be on laptops, on computers. Computers are built in. You just raise the monitor. Mm-hmm. We'll have a 70-inch TV at the front for actually presenting, and 28 stations. So organize an event for your group, or, you know, come in for training. You do your training. I do training, whatever we need to do. At the end of that is two recording studios. One of them will have eGLASS and the normal recording with a webcam and stuff like that. And the other one will have normal recording with webcam, but also podcast material. So if you want to record your own podcast, you can do it physically on site. I'm about 40 feet away, 30 feet away, something like that, whatever it is, the length of the room. If you've got questions, problems, we're there. So, looking forward to implementing that. Is actually, I moved into it on the 1st of August. So I'm really excited about that new one.
This is so cool, Tim. I mean, this is part of the vision that we've been talking about for a while, right? Like starting to get into that, and like, you know, for a while it was like, yeah, you know, like not necessarily everybody else's priority, but I really think this is important. And I think it's going to give a lot of opportunities for people, you know, like you can run trainings in there. People can just pop in. Are classes going to be able to come in there and learn stuff?
So that's where it becomes interesting. So you could bring your class in for a single session. So for instance, at least once a semester, I go to the AESL, the Adult English as a Second Language group, and do a session on Canvas. So that could be done in this environment instead.
Right.
So it's things like that. So yes, absolutely. You could bring your class in and do just a session, or have me do a session or something. What it's for.
Classes are not booked in there. Like,
correct.
There's no regular classes running in there. But if someone said, hey, I want to do a session, can we come into your training center?
The lab, basically.
Into the lab, then they can use it that way.
Exactly.
Cool.
And we want to. That's the goal, is to have it used as much as possible, because we're using this as a test to see how we want to do training on campus. And so the more we learn from this, the more we'll turn it into whatever the next iteration of this is. So,
and then the other thing, Tim, I was wondering is, like, if teachers start saying, hey, I want my students to do a podcast, for example, can they send groups of students to come over and use it? So it's not just faculty. It can be student use in there as well, right?
So this particular spot is not just faculty. It's not just staff. It's not just students. And it's not just administrators. So anybody who wants to arrange for a time, they can come in and use it.
I love that. There's so much anybody potential on campus. Having those little studios in the back and really saying like, hey, we want you guys to produce and create content. Like, there's so many students out there that want to be YouTubers or want to have like try making shows and vlogs and podcasts and all those things. So I think having just a place where they can come in and do that, like, I'm really excited about the potential there.
So. Oh, absolutely. Me too. And that's why we built it the way we have. It's dual screens. If I can get people in there, I can justify getting better cameras, stuff like that. So we have done a really nice job getting it set up. Now let's use it, abuse it, make it useful and demonstrate why this is such an important key tool on campus.
All right. So, Tim, briefly before we close out, you just had a small list of a few things that we are hoping to talk about. We've already many of these things are things, so it's kind of like a preview of the season, but there's a few other things that you said, hey, we might want to get in a little bit more depth. And so just for people to know what's coming up in the 2022-2023 school year of season 4 of the podcast, what are some of the things we're looking at talking about?
Number one, interviews. We are already trying to line up a lot of different interviews. It'd be nice to do like 10 interviews across the 20 episodes that we intend to do. We got a lot of people who are very interested. We've had over 10,000 downloads. So sounding, loving to see that and stuff like that. So let's see what we can do to get some of these vendors in. And that includes things like class.com, Pronto. They're highly interested. We're just trying to work out timing with them. We are trying to figure out if we can get Canvas to actually come in and possibly do a little discussion on the trust that we were talking about before, because it's a new tool for them and it'd be nice to demonstrate and facilitate that for them. And then we've also got questions that we'd love to have answered. We're trying to figure out the right way to get the right person on or something. And things like, Brent, I know this is a pet peeve of yours. I agree with you on it. Why is it that every time I see free for education, I have to look extra hard, because often it's free for education. K-12. If you're a college or K-12. Higher education, you have to pay the full rate. And so it's like, okay, so what's up with that? I'd love to figure out if we can get somebody on and have some discussion on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think some interviews, just so everybody knows, we do try to be careful about, a lot of people pitch us on like, hey, have this person come on and talk about this thing. And it's like, well, we don't use that, or it's not higher ed related or whatever else it is. And so we usually try to get something that, at least at the IVC campus, that we're already kind of using or that we're integrating. Mm-hmm. And so we're not trying to turn it into like a commercial or a pitch for anything. We just want to have conversations with some of the organizations, or many times we're also looking to have conversations with teachers who are using some of the tools that we might be talking about. And so we know that a lot of times, of course, we're local, but we're also open and interested in talking to people at other schools. And so if, I know every time I say, hey, reach out and let us know who you want, what you want us to talk about. But really, I would love if you're, an IT person at another school, or if you're a teacher at another school, especially California Community Colleges, but really any higher ed institute, and you're saying like, hey, these are things that I think are worth talking about or having conversations around. We love feet on the ground people, like people who are really making changes and making things happen at their institutions. And so I'm just going to put out kind of a separate call for those people. Or you might be listening to the show, but you might go, oh, so-and-so in our department is really cool, and I want you to I want you to talk to them. And I want that person's story to be heard. So I want to kind of put that out, just, you know, an open call, less markety and more real, real talk about what's happening in colleges and universities.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening today. In this episode, we welcomed you back and talked about some new tools that we've got and we're implementing. For more information about this show, please visit our website at thehigheredtechpodcast.com. There you will find our podcast and links to the information we've covered.
As always, we do want your feedback, so please go to thehigheredtechpodcast.com and let us know your thoughts. And if you have ideas for future shows, as I just asked, you know, shout out. There's a link on the page. Oh, and people are reaching out to me on LinkedIn as well. So if you're on LinkedIn, you're welcome to reach out that way. But yeah, reach out. Let us know. We'd love to hear your topic ideas.
Absolutely. For everyone at IVC that's listening, if you need help with technology questions, please contact IVC Technical Support. If you have questions about technology in your classroom, please contact me, Tim Van Norman, at tvannorman@ivc.edu.
And if you want to reach out to me about the show, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn at Brent G. Warner.
I'm Tim Van Norman.
And I'm Brent Warner, and we hope this episode has helped you on the road from possibility to actuality. Take care, everybody.